Beginning of part 1. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part 2.
Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit. Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
Prophecy Keepers Radio.
This is Jossagonie, Will Bluewater, a seventh grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hi, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks. In Mid-America, and this is the March 19th, 2005 version of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and our honored guest once again, backed by request and a public demand and acclaim, is the Reverend Dr. Robert Ghostwolf. How are you tonight?
We're hanging in there, Earth people. We're watching the movie.
Do you think I was going to say the Reverend Dr. Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, well, this is the Reverend that does not call Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, the TV stations over in Great Britain, some of them are taking his, or his radio stations, some of them are not playing his music anymore.
Well, there isn't any news anymore. We know this. Everything now is this media stuff, which is basically on, cable has wiped out the news media. So you have a few old fossils that they parade around every once in a while. They used to tell the news. And the story about most of those guys who did all the news, 60 Minutes and all that stuff, and Cronkite, and the whole club. All those guys came out of Stars and Stripes, mm-hmm. which was the periodical that they put out during World War II. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Edward R. Murrow, and they were all part of a club, because I used to, when I was a young, gallivanting, wannabe artist type kid, I lived with the family who owned the New York Times.
Really?
Yeah, the Cat Sanders. And he had seen some of my work in Europe when I came back here, and anyway, they wanted to sponsor me. Anyway, to make a long story short, these guys used to come to the house every weekend, you know, one or the other. So I got to know all those guys, you know, as a very young man, and the news I see today is, like, totally different. The people are totally different. Everything's about, they're almost like talk show hosts, you know, rather than news hosts. And it's based on personalities and their opinions, and it's a really sad state of affairs. But watching the news these days, it's like watching Caligula in Rome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, really? What's happening next? And I think that this is part of the malaise that people have, because, you know, we still have certain habits, and we still do certain things at certain times, and there are still people that, you know, do the 9 to 5, and they come home and they sit down and they eat and they watch the evening news to see what's going on in the world. So, okay, let's do something clean. Let's do something wholesome. Let's watch sports. What's going on in the sports world? These guys are on this drug. That guy did this. This guy corrupted this. This guy's being arrested for this. It's like, wow, you know? So, okay, the heck with sports. Let's see what's going on on the local level. Well, there's been 5 murders today in Albuquerque, 6 bank robberies. You go, okay, well, the hell with the local news. Let's go to the foreign news. Let's see what's going on in the world. And then all you see is people blowing each other up and shooting each other up. I mean, it's just pretty pathetic, you know. And the crimes, the nature of the crimes. You remember when people used to do wholesome things like rob trains?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. How is it? What are the movies going to be like 30 years from now? Isn't that an interesting projection? Here we are with the King of Pop, Peter Pan. Peter Pan means Twinkie, you know. It's so what happens is that people just, they turn off, you know. And then when you go from that and you go to even the subjects on the local, what is it, soap operas? They have them daytime and nighttime now. The very theme of these shows follows the pulse beat of what's going on in the news. So to me, it's like watching Caligula in Rome on the air every day. So it makes, I think, some people who are good people trying to do good things wonder why they're doing it. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. You know, okay, well, the heck with all this stuff. This is all evil. Let's go to the church. So then you go to the section of the news that covers world religion, and I think you're better off in baseball. So
I guess it's time to do the opposite of what they did in the 60s. Instead of tune in, turn on, drop out, it's time to tune out.
Well, you know, that's a funny thought, isn't it? But it's true. It's,
drop out.
You almost want to do the opposite of what we did in the 60s. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it, in the 60s, we're trying to, 70s, we're trying to open all the doors, trying to open doors to this, investigate that. And maybe we made a mistake. Maybe too much freedom isn't a good thing.
Well, the pendulum always swings, you know, back and forth. I was raised Republican, but I'll tell you, looking back at it, I'm glad that there's a two-party system, even though George Washington thought that would tear our nation up. But something had to be some kind of balance. There's only, I don't know, it's a tough call. On the home front here, I was telling you before the interview, both our cars are broken down now. One's been broken down for 2-3 months, and the other one's broken down And anyways, we live about 100 yards from a convenience store. I'm walking back, you know, with some hot dogs or something, because Betty's been sick and didn't feel like cooking it. And she's going to have, she went through like 2.5 weeks of flu, and then she came up with this real bad pain in her right shoulder. Come to find out, she's got a fatty tumor, a lipoma on her left shoulder that's causing the pain. And anyway, walking back, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I see strips of clouds. It was like jets flew over. Well, that's exactly what happened. Every half or three quarter of a mile, and dumped their load of whatever it is they dump. And as far as the eye could see, these things were running from east to west in a uniform pattern. You know, every half a mile or so in the sky. As far as I could see north, which is 3 or 4 miles. As far as I could see south, which is a good 10 miles. It's just absolutely amazing. Never seen anything like it before. I mean, if it isn't obvious that they're messing with the weather, I don't.
Did you try calling the Air Force?
The Air Force.
Hey, you know, the first thing that they would do is tell you, we don't have any planes up.
Yeah, right.
You know, I remember once I was in Arizona. I have some land up there in the mountains, and I'm in Arizona, and I'm with about 8 people, and we're out in the middle of the wilderness. We figure we would be alone. We'd be, you know, in seclusion and everything. It's about, it's summertime, so it gets dark real late there, but it's about 7:30 at night, and we just gotten through doing a sweat lodge. And we come out of the lodge, and at eye level, there is a Hawk helicopter with a guy with the big bug eyes looking straight into my face, you know.
You're kidding.
And, you know, and what this guy didn't know is that, you know, that I guess he had no way of knowing, was that the group of people I were with, they were seasoned outdoorsmen, okay? And everybody had walkie-talkies, and everybody was armed, and because that's the nature of life out in the wilderness in the West. And so we immediately, one guy called up the National Guard, one guy proceeded to call up the police, and one guy proceeded to call the Air Force. They all denied they had anything up in the air, okay? And so we all sort of looked at each other, and we reconfirmed this. This happens like in a matter of maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and because they're all calling from separate cell phones. Anyway, the Air Force says, no, we don't have anything up there. The police say, no, we don't have anything up there. National Guard goes, no, we don't have anything up there. So I go, okay, then I'm going to order my guys to get rid of the illusion. At that point, they hear all 6 rifles click. Well, did you know that illusion just disappeared? It just vanished. But, you know, I mean, you see this stuff all the time. I remember riding from Spokane, Washington, over to Idaho, because every once in a while you just had to escape out of the state of Washington. And I was going over to Idaho, and there's this strange-looking anomaly on the side of the road about 3 miles back up on the hill, and it's like this huge golf ball, and it's surrounded by an array of antennas, okay? And I'm looking at square clouds. I mean, the clouds looked like somebody had just baked cornbread and cut them in slices. You know what I mean? And, you know, and of course, you know, nobody claims anything. As a matter of fact, I just did a radio show the other morning. We were talking about this kind of phenomenon and chemtrails and things like that. Somebody said, you know, but the problem is that we don't have enough aircraft to do this. And I said, you know, about a year ago, I contacted an admiral in the U.S. Navy, who's with U.S. Navy Intelligence, down in Tampa, Florida, because he was the husband of a woman who had come to some of my events and heard me talk about this weird stuff. And she went home. She's talking to her husband, who is giving her very strange-looking eyes, like, who is this fellow she's going to listen to talk? And so I called him up on her bequest. And I started telling him about this stuff. And I got him to the point where he said, okay, I'll look into it. Okay? Because I'm telling them, I'm saying, why are these things all over the place? Why are they everywhere? Why are they in New York? Why are they over Atlanta, over Florida, over Texas, over Indiana, over Ohio, over New Mexico, over California? You know, for crying out loud, they're even over Hawaii, okay? And so he started to check, and he said, well, he said, you know, what you said was true. These things are all over the place. He says, but I've only got one problem. If these planes are flying at 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet, and then you got this other little tiny black jet thing that flies at about 20,000 feet, he says, we don't have enough aircraft that big that can fly that high and do that kind of work that could be doing this all at once. And I said, okay. I said, so what does that mean? I said, you're looking at it. You're looking at it because they have those radar programs that show the weather, and they clearly show these round circles emanating out of the weather, and then in other places they show these diagonal patterns going across for, you know, 100 miles. And I said, you're looking at it, I'm looking at it, and you're telling me that you don't have enough planes to do this. Then what does that mean? Does that mean that somebody else is doing it? Or does that mean that somehow they're doing it in between the pages of time? Because if we were free from the constraints of time, then we could be everywhere we wanted to be at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, I said, I know it's getting a little weird, isn't it? It sounds almost like the Montauk experiment or something. So I left him with a bunch of books to read. He's never called me back.
The general?
The admiral.
Oh, it's an admiral.
Yeah, he was in naval intelligence. They were the ones that tracked all the satellites and sat there in the big computer rooms and did all that stuff.
Space Command is run by...
Yeah, and I wasn't looking for an opinion. I was looking for an explanation, you know. And as close as we could get was he saw what I saw. We both saw what we were both looking at. We both acknowledged to each other that it was there, but there was no way that it could be being done. So, those are the times that we live in. You know, it's like I could be sitting here, and I'm looking at the Doppler radar weather screen, and I'm over on the east side of the mountain range, and they're telling me that it is 49 degrees and partly cloudy. And I open up my window, and I look out my window, and I'm looking at a snowstorm. You know, so, again, these are the times we live in. So why doubt yourself when you see something? You know, don't doubt yourself when you see something. Just keep trying to dig. Keep trying to find out. Sooner or later, they've got to at least admit to us that there's something going on that they don't know. Sooner or later.
Well, you had indicated you wanted to kind of continue to talk about how to cope with the, you know, mentally and physically and spiritually with the end time changes. And a lot going on, a lot of stuff that...
Well, yeah, I mean, what we're just talking about leaves you to question your own reality, doesn't it? Because if you go to any level of investigation, all you get is official denial. And so you're wondering, oh, well, and then so you shrug it off and you bury it and it didn't happen. You didn't see it, you know. You didn't see all the trees in the Northwest dying from the top down. You didn't see all the fish disappearing and turned up on their bellies. You didn't see all the herbs that grew in the lower canopies of the forest disappearing. You know, we keep seeing things, those of us who are still in connection with the outside, and we keep getting told that we're not seeing what we're seeing, you know. And, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, makes a noise like a duck, smells like a duck, it just may be a duck. But we're seeing all of these things, and everyone's telling us, no, 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 no. Then we look at the news, and we're seeing all of these Armageddon scenario, doomsday kind of things going on. Then sometimes people turn on that other guy on the radio, and they listen to the voice. voice of doom, tell them that all these things are happening, you know, and it's like, you know, this is wonderful, and I'm glad that the guy's able to live in a cave in the middle of Hawaii someplace and see all this stuff. I don't know how he sees all this stuff from the cave.
He ever moved back from New Zealand? Oh, he's in Maui.
Yeah, he was on Maui for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, this guy's really cool. He's got, like, the magic cave. He's better than Merlin.
I mean, that's, like, one of the worst places to be in the end times. This is right in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, let's go sit on top of the volcano.
Yeah, islands are here, not the place to be, you know, in the end times.
Prophecy Keeper, Prophecy Keeper.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
OCO is Cherokee for hello. This is Chia Sagonige, also known as Will Bluewater. I'm the International Communications Director for the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. I'm speaking on behalf of the Seven Clans and beloved woman Sharon Rogers, wife of Chief Priest and Principal Chief Charles L. Yatlohi Rogers, M.D., oncologist. Their family discovered the tomb in Mexico of Sequoia, the world-famous inventor of the Cherokee alphabet and the namesake of the Cherokee National Forest in California. The state of Oklahoma was very nearly named the state of Sequoia. Nación Cherokee de México, the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, is known in the United States as the Cherokee Nation of Sequoia of Mexico, Texas, and the USA Reservation and Church. Free of any charge, we are accepting citizenship and adoption applications, not only from Cherokee descendants, but from all people of good heart, from all lineages, just as we did for the 10,000 plus years before the United States government fairly recently imposed restrictions on Cherokee citizenship. Tennessee Governor Sam Houston had not one drop of Cherokee blood, yet he left office and later became Kalanu, or Speaker of Council, second only to Chief John Jolly of the Cherokee Nation West. The Republic of Mexico has recognized the Cherokee four times since the 1700s, and Spain five times before that. We possess original physical copies of all those treaties. In January of 2001, the San Andres Accords, enabling government-to-government tripartite relationships between sovereign Indian nations and the government of Mexico, were passed by the Mexican Congress. A few weeks later, the first such sovereign Indian nation, Nación Cherokee de México, was federally recognized in a solemn ceremony in Torreón, the capital of the state of Coahuila, formerly known as the province of Coahuila in Texas. The ceremony was followed by a fabulous celebration, which was attended by Cherokee elders from all over the Americas, including citizens of the federally recognized Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, people like Squaw Yee, the famed bowmaker Al Heron. There is so much more to share with you, so I encourage you to visit our website at CherokeeDiscovery.com. While you are visiting the website, feel free to fill out a free citizenship application. Please be patient, though. We have no paid staff, and applications may take up to 9 months or more to get processed. If you're not a Cherokee, feel free to request adoption. And please don't forget, tell them Bluewater sent you. Ski. Wado.
So we were told that as these 13 Lords of Light would come into being, they would bring about a cracking of the consciousness that had gotten so thick, where the souls of men had laid down so low in vibration to the point that they almost became as dense as the rocks themselves. And that there would be these great emotional storms. So that's what I started writing my stuff about. What was going to happen to humanity? What was going to happen when we walked into the future, not the days to come, and it was safely off somewhere in the distance, and we could go, you know, on a picnic someplace and forget about it and just go fly fishing? What would we do if we had to walk through the middle of this? What would we do if some of the things that the Hopi elders told us about actually started to happen? what would we do if we actually had to walk through the middle of the dramas of some of the prophecies that Edgar Cayce saw? What would we do and how would we react? What would happen to humanity? What would happen to the children? What would happen as they turned around and they literally looked along, across, and over the field of the panorama of human life, and they saw all the social structures collapsing, the monetary structures collapsing, the religious structures collapsing, the science structures collapsing, the consciousness itself collapsing? What would happen and how would they deal with it? Would it be the end? Would it be an end? Would it be absolute horror? How would people cope with it? What could they do to fortify themselves as we walk into this, the end of this cycle of self-destruction? And we knew that as we entered the cycle of self-destruction, we would simultaneously be entering the age of the emergence. Now, the emergence can seem to be an innocuous term, sort of nebulous. It's like, well, what are you talking about, the emergence? What the Mayans saw, and I really don't care about the books, folks. I don't care about those guys who ripped my Mayan brothers off and wrote to you about 25 things that they saw at a 2500 and came out with the Encyclopedia of Mayan Knowledge. I'm talking about sitting down over a fire, talking about prophecies. I'm talking about, well, what did they see? What does the Popol Vuh say? What does the Chilambalam really say? You know, well, who is this guy in a Chilambalam? Who is he talking? How come every time I hear this person talk, I'm hearing the words of Yeshua? I'm hearing the words of the Christ. How come they totally align themselves? How come the things he's talking about are in prophecies are the same things that they talk about in Judeo-Christian philosophy and mythology? How come they're so identical? How come these acts that this person brought, how come they're so parallel? How come, as we hear these things, how come the Mayans were concerned about this emergence where on December 21st, 2012, at dawn, this great occurrence happens? And is it the end of the world? Was Jose correct? Do we just chew on the cyanide pill now? Because all these other guys tell us all this stuff, and it's like going to an amusement park and you go into the horror show, you know. There is no escape. It is the end. God doesn't love you. You know, I don't believe in that Jehovah stuff, okay? Jehovah is an immature, ungracious little God who never took on human form, who does nothing for us. He makes men bow down and eat their own dung. This is not a loving, caring God to me. You know, my God is caring and loving. My God gives birth to butterflies, flowers, and little children. And my God has miracles that happen when we're sitting there and there's no water and there's no food, and all of a sudden you come across a patch in the woods and there's all these berries and different things and duck eggs everywhere. And like, well, how did this happen? Or you're sitting there and everything's a dust bowl and there's no hope and the Doppler weather is telling us that it's 95 and there'll be no rain for the next 6 weeks. And all of a sudden in this little town somewhere in the middle of Indiana, it rains. So my God makes miracles. My God loves us and my God always shows us a way. My God only says to me, all I want you to do is to try to believe, to try to live a good life. Beyond that, I want you to taste everything. I want you to explore everything. I want you to laugh, and I want you to play. But I may know a strange God, because when I look around the world, we are now walking through the end times. The Hopi said a year ago now, when they locked up, and you and I were talking, and they said, well, nobody goes to Hopiville anymore. It's not that people don't go there. It's that they're not talking. They're getting ready. They're preparing. These are the end times. Folks, we're in the end times. We are seeing now a slow, continuous, steady buildup of events. And the gods, whoever they may be, despite your little opinions. They live in their own realm. The forces of nature, the forces of the universe exist in their own paradigm of reality, and they will have done what they will have done. And the miracle about what's going on right now is we are watching these things going on. We are watching right here in America families becoming homeless and finding out how to try to live in little communities and survive. We're finding people going out to the woods, to the desert, and trying to make little camps so that they can survive and have enough, because they're learning that humanity works on common ground. It works on commonality. It works on I help you, you help me, and together we get the ditch dug for the irrigation in 2 days instead of a month. Humanity works on we all go out and collect firewood, we all go out and collect berries. Humanity works on we all go on the buffalo hunt and we have enough food for the whole winter. We have walked away from that. We have walked away from that on so many levels. We sit there in this pugnacious little egotistical world where we think that I don't need anything. I have the whole earth catalog. I can get my own generator. I can get my own. 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 Well, what's happening right now is happening in a way that it's not an overwhelming, devastating Armageddon kind of catastrophe. We're not looking at the level of cataclysmic events as they could be, and they may very well be. We're looking at things happening in succession. They're becoming more and more frequent. They're becoming bigger and more terrible. I mean, you didn't want to hear about the earthquakes and the ocean causing things and this little tsunami wave. And, you know, just around Christmas time when I was talking to the Hopi and I was talking to my friend Mr. Night Owl out in Hawaii, and he was talking to the kahunas there, and it was around solstice time, and we were talking about what was going to happen with the, you know, that we saw happening in the world. And we all saw this thing with the tsunami happen. We didn't know what we were seeing. We saw a massive devastation, buildings collapsing, all just everywhere. And then we woke up the day after Christmas morning, and bingo, there it was. But we didn't want to listen when it happened with just one little wave that hit some beach in Hawaii, or it hit some little town somewhere off in Japan. You know, we live in a world where we look at things through the news, so everything's far away. It's not home, you know. And we didn't want to listen when they told us that around this time the Cascade Range was going to activate. And now, just in the past few weeks, we've seen thousands upon tens of thousands of earthquakes from Vancouver Island and north in Alaska all the way down to Popo in Mexico. So we're seeing the whole chain being activated. We're seeing the entire Pacific Rim being activated. We're seeing massive floods. We just came out of over 8 years of drought in the Southwest. It was so dry that even the snakes were leaving. That's how dry it was.
Wow.
And now we're seeing floods. We're seeing California going from being burned to being washed away. Look at what's happening out there, you know? We were told how many couple of years ago that the animals were going to start to act strangely. I remember Chief Dan saying, yeah, you'll be sitting there, and even the rabbits will come after you and attack you. And now we're seeing all of these things, cougar attacks, bear attacks, wolf attacks, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're seeing all of these different things. We were told that the animals would start to be born in a mutated form. And I got up on the air and spoke about that with Speaking Wind many times, about the three little demons that were coming, and that one of them would sort of disappear for a while. One of them we would think that we had a hold on and a control over, but it would mutate and become something else. The other one would be devastating and it would hit us, but we would find a way to fix that. And that when this other one that disappeared came back, we would start to see massive amounts of the microbes and the plankton in the waters die. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that now. So we're being shown things But we're being shown things very gently, I think. We're being shown, this is serious. You didn't want to listen to me about the beach in Japan, so here's a major tsunami. All right, you didn't want to listen to us when we sent you the messengers and they told you about this, so here's 3,800 earthquakes in Vancouver. And not less than a week later, you have St. Helens blow its top. But again, was the devastation total? Was the devastation overwhelming? Did it erase human life? No, there are warnings. There are alarm clocks going off telling us you got to change the way you're thinking. You got to change the way you're thinking. So I think that opens up a door to what do we do to cope with these times? What do we do to when we see reality changing right before our eyes? When we see relationships coming into being and melting, and you're living a whole life experience in a couple of months, you know, what is going on? What do you deal when you see your children just walk away? But you know, it doesn't matter whether you're an Apache, whether you're a Lakota, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Protestant, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Tibetan, whether you're a Mayan. We're seeing this happen everywhere. So why is it happening? Why are the children leaving? You know, why don't we just slow down a little bit and take a look at what's going on in our own lives and take it right down to the core? And I think at the beginning of the core, to understand what's going on outside of you, the only way you're ever going to deal with what's going on outside of you is by grabbing hold and owning what you are inside of you. You can steer your own ship through many seas, but you cannot necessarily navigate an entire navy.
Time to cleanse the inner vessel, as Jesus would put it, huh?
Time to clean the temple.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
That starts right out with
money
the
changers.
Stuff you put in your mouth.
Money changers, we've got to get them out. He thought that was important enough. Greed. You've got to drive greed out. Gandhi said if there were no greed, there'd be no need. So, yeah. Yeah, and our bodies are in pretty bad shape, too. How interesting.
Well, isn't it funny how the social dictates of, you know, Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich.
Uh-huh.
How did this become our Bible? When I look at the people today, that's what they're doing. They're thinking grow rich. Get a bigger car. Get a Lexus. Get this. Get that. They're even trying to make the cars look like each other.
Yeah.
They're making little Hyundais look like little Jaguars.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and they're making this one look like that one. You know, they all look the same. You don't know what you're looking at anymore. There's no, you know, big, beautiful, big fin blue DeSoto convertibles anymore. There's no 57 Chevys or, you know, we don't. And you know, and you can get one of these if you're good and you behave and you do everything society tells you to, then you can afford this $600,000 two-bedroom house in San Jose, California. I mean, you know, you can go out and you can buy this $55,000 station wagon. I'm like, wow, my whole life I waited for this, you know. I mean, do you know how many kids I can feed, how many horses I can heal, how many books I can buy for kids, how many I could do with one $55,000 station wagon? And you know what? In 3 years, you got to dump it anyway.
Yeah, what a waste.
You know, in 5 years, it's in the junk heap. You know, you sit there just a few years ago, you went out and got a computer so you could be on the internet and you could listen to things and do all this stuff, and you paid $5,000 for that. Now you can get them for $399 in Dell computers.
$55,000, you can get a 55-acre ranch here in the Ozarks and raise horses or beef cattle or whatever you want to. I mean, this is prime horse country. This is prime milk cattle.
Well, it's just our perceptions have gotten all warped out.
Incredible, yeah.
It's like, when is it going to stop? Where is the end of this? How the hell can they do this? What is it? Okay, so we just raised the national debt to $200 trillion. So what we'll do is we'll raise the price of everything in America by 30%.
Yeah.
We'll make up the deficit.
We knew that was coming when they put $55 billion in last May. You know, we knew inflation was coming last May. I did.
Well, it's called forgetting the golden rule of honoring life for the next seven generations. What we're doing is we're buying our way out now with credit, and we're putting the debt on our children. So that three generations now, these people are so helplessly enslaved to a society because they're born into $1 million debt the minute that they come out of the womb, that there's no way in hell they can ever break away from the imposed enslavement of the society because they're in debt. And people don't realize how the whole national debt thing works. Well, what has this got to do with spirituality? Well, if you understand how you're imprisoned, then you might understand that this is several bars. Okay? And what they do and how they barter the national debt and the interest with the foreign banks is that they turn around and they bargain off the future generation and what that generation will bring in as far as earnings in their lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they barter against it. Okay? I mean, that is literally down to the bottom line what they barter against it. So what they're saying is, we're going to correct this little fupa that we did in South America with the Bank of America, and we're going to fix this thing that we screwed up in Iraq, and what we'll do is we'll put it on the third generation from now. The people then won't even remember what the hell happened. And besides, they won't be able to because they'll have to ask permission for everything that they do because they owe their very life sustenance to us. It's a scary nightmare, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, travel through America and find out. Right now, one of the biggest things going on is refinance your home. Get out of debt. Well, man, that's kind of a stupid angry, isn't it? I mean, you know, I mean, you have this house, and now you're going to go out, and it's almost debt-free, so now you're going to get a second mortgage or a third mortgage, and you're going to pay off all your bills that you're paying 21% interest on.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
And then you're going to turn around and you're going to put that all on your back. Now your house, you can never sell it. You can never get out of it. It's not going to happen right now, but it'll happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And then all of a sudden, there you are. You owe us $150,000, $300,000. And then we come in and look at it and we go, well, you know, your house really isn't worth that. We have this new program now that we can put out. And the thing is, beyond that, where is all this money coming from for these mortgages? I thought we were in debt and we were broke and we didn't have any money. We're worried about paying Social Security. Well, where the money's coming from is the foreign bankers. Foreign bankers are buying up all the real estate.
Yep.
They are buying up the real estate. It is a field day at the Saturday auction.
Oh, the
okay?
Japanese.
You can buy America for 9 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, the Mojave Desert. I mean, they...
So, you know, and then we sit there, and then, you know, so 10 years from now, they're going to come up to the prophets and go, what's happening? And the only thing that we can say is, well, you did something really stupid. Now, how are we supposed to do it? We can see what's going to happen, but how can we tell you to get out of it? Because you didn't want to listen. And, you know, when you listen to somebody telling you what they see, to the best of their ability, if they were Yeshua himself, they could only see it through Yeshua's eyes. I can't see it through your eyes. I can have empathy. I can feel your emotions. I can look at your life and I can see the way you're walking down the road. And I can tell you what I think may happen. But I can't see it through your eyes. I can't feel it through your emotions. That's one of the miracles of this place. With all the 8 billion people that are running around, we each have our own little individual dream. We each have our own individual, you know, renewal of life. We have our little miracles that make our life work. You know, this is another thing that the media is doing to people. They no longer have individual thought. They no longer value themselves based on what they did. You know, and over here in America, we watch all those great Tom Selleck movies and everything. But that was about a time when a man or a woman went out and they cut their own path. You know, and most of us don't even take the time to be aware of what was life just 100 years ago. How come most of the West, the wild West, most of the women who were able to do anything were prostitutes? Well,
yeah.
it was the only vocation that they were allowed. They were shunned if they started their own business. They were shunned if they had their own ranch. They were shunned if they did anything on an individual basis. But y'all can be a girl down at the local saloon. That's okay. But don't get too successful. And whatever you do, don't run for politics. And yet today, has the world really changed that much? I wonder. We're seeing things, you know, start to open up. We're seeing women move into positions of power in politics. But my question a lot of times when I look at these women is, do they celebrate their femininity? Do they celebrate their being a woman? Do they celebrate the goddess? Do they celebrate all the wonderful attributes that have made women what women are for the last 30,000 years of life that we can remember on this plane? Or are they bitter and hurt and broken and mean? Okay? I remember I used to see pictures of Margaret Thatcher on the news and I'd run away. I'd get scared.
Yeah.
That was an angry woman. You know, and so we no longer track our roots are being broken. Our family ties are being broken. Does this mean it was better in the good old days? No, hell, it doesn't mean it was better in the good old days. People talk to me about the good old days in New Mexico. Well, the good old days in New Mexico, which was, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, you had to sleep down here with a gun by your side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was the good old days in New Mexico. Let's get real, people. You know, but we were allowed to express ideas. You know, which is part of what everybody fought for in the 60s and 70s, was just the right to express ideas. Santa Fe was a mecca and still is today in that it's an unusual anomaly in that every religion in the world is represented here. Every religion in the world. But we're now living in a zone of fear. Fear is everywhere. Wasn't there a song, Paranoia Strikes Deep, and Your Heart is Going to Creep? And right now, everybody's hiding, everybody's afraid. You say something that's against the norm, you know, and you're subject of an investigation of Homeland Security. So, and God help, out here there's a lot of people out in the West that own general stores, convenience stores, things like that, gas stations. And, you know, a lot of those guys wear turbans, hello?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see the fear in their eyes as every customer walks in. They don't know what wacko is going to come in there with a gun, okay, and pull something just because they're Muslim. It's like fear has gotten out of control. Out of control, okay? I mean, look at this thing that just happened with David Letterman and the kidnapping plot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Do you know where David Letterman lives in Montana? I can tell you where he lives in Montana, because he lives in Choteau, Montana. That's his getaway place. on 4,000 acres right by the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and part of his land is where we did the ghost dance on. So I'm very familiar where Letterman's hideaway is, and the fact that some guy just goes in there and says, I'm going to take your kid, I'm going to ask you for $5 million. Things are out of whack, people. Things are out of whack when they got to look in the news and they got to see that there are more than one incidents of American parents peddling their kids to pornographers for as little as a carton of cigarettes.
Well, speaking of which, tomorrow night on America's Most Wanted, they're going to have the story of the kidnapping and the holding for ransom of Chief Charles Gattoli Rogers, who's chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
Dr. Rogers had a Cherokee medicine practice, quite successful down in Matamoros. And three men came into his office and took him at gunpoint. And so folks might want to watch America's Most Wanted tomorrow night.
Maybe we can arrange to make get that video available for people.
Yeah, and
People got to realize that this stuff is hitting home. It's hitting in their neighborhoods now.
Yeah, yeah, and they didn't cross the border. The FBI told them don't cross the border to go to the. They had a year. Cherokee Nation of Mexico had a yearly gathering. I think the third week of February down in Zaragoza, Coahuila. But, I mean, it's like civil war going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts down there.
Well, look at the stuff that still goes down in Chiapas that they don't even talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they still patrol at Mexico into certain villages and wipe everybody out with a machine gun because they went against the political regime of the day. Which answers a question as to, you know, why certain Mayan elders were not allowed up in this country. And they're not allowed up in this country because they spoke out against it and actively participated against it at risk to their own lives.
Doesn't America believe in freedom of speech? Then why do they not let Mayan elders in this country that also believe in freedom of speech? Interesting.
Well, you know, here's the good part about it.
Is that they won't allow him in, or Vicente Fox will allow him out.
We don't have to live with it forever. We can change it.
Yep.
But change means, you know, right now change means taking responsibility. It means having a cognizant consciousness when you look at things. You know, this isn't Bambi in the woods, and we're going to have to do certain things. And it's the time of the lion and the wolf. It's not the time of the dove. This is not time of the dove at all. It's the time of the lion and the wolf. And that's what's going to get humanity through. And the wolf teachers, well, the wolf teachers have been going out there now for a long time. A lot of them are worn down. For some reason, I just keep going. I'm getting to feel like Gus and Lonesome Dove. I will make it to Montana. But, you know, it's like, you know, this June, we're doing, there were so many calls to get together and do something spiritually because nothing was really happening and everything was falling apart and no one was really taking a step, and I was getting calls from all over the country, and so I agreed to do a gathering in Montana on the summer solstice called Father Sky, Mother Earth. It's a non-political. It's about spiritual unity, not religious unity. Spiritual unity of souls. It's a gathering of souls. And
so there are a few people out there who don't hate you.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if there really were as many people out there who didn't like me as they say they do, you know, and my reputation was not as big as Billy the Kid and Geronimo, you know, I wouldn't be able to survive. I mean, you know, it's you can't hide in the world that I'm in. It's impossible to hide. I'm out in public too much. You know, it's just because I didn't tell you where it was. Well, you know, I got a good press secretary. But this will be in Montana. It's on the Buffalo Ranch. We're going to be helping the Buffalo Ranch there. We got 100 buffalo. It's an absolutely magical place. Absolutely magical place. The mountains are made out of quartz. There's quartz crystals everywhere. And the springs are artesian wells that come up from we believe that the source of the water is probably the
Ogallala Aquifer,
all the way up north in the Arctic. Okay. Because the water is so pure, it's just incredible. And no, don't worry, Yellowstone's not going to blow up.
Now they're saying it's going to fall in.
You know, there's a whole thing about that area.
Yeah.
And one of the amazing things about that area, if you study the geomancy of the area, is there are 36 natural pyramids made out of quartz that surround that entire area for a couple hundred miles and make a complete circle. So I don't have any fears. I don't have any fears. You know, I don't see this total devastation. I've talked about this with other elders, and I've talked about it with other seers that I give credence to. And there's not this overwhelming devastation thing that's going to happen. The only place that's going to happen is in the minds of men and on the battlefields in the Middle East, because they're creating it. But we're seeing many, many events. We're seeing many, many little volcanic eruptions, earthquakes. You know, what's little? You know, well, you know, anywhere up to a 9, you know.
Yeah.
What's big? Anything over a 12, forget about it. You're not even going to be there to report it, okay? But we're seeing these things happen with more frequency. We're seeing disease. We're seeing the hospital systems break down. They're already to the point that they can't handle the people that come in. I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about some starving country in Africa, you know, where they got millions of people laying in some camp. You couldn't even do that in America. If they started persecuting you, where do you hide in America? There is no place to go, man. They won't let you do that. They won't even let you assemble with your family in a public campground anymore in the forest there for more than 3 days, and you got to report in, okay? I mean, Big Brother's here, people. It's here. Where I live, there's 60 miles of wilderness between me and Santa Fe proper. And you used to be able to ride horses and ride your dirt bikes or do whatever you had to do back in there. You cannot do that now. You pull in there, you ride your horses, you're doing what, you get a helicopter visit or a jeep visit. The new rock cops that are out there. They're federal officers now. And God forbid if you're out there and you're doing a ceremony that they don't understand, you know. They immediately call up the White House and say, we got a matter of national security here. These people were actually having fun. But we're seeing it. We're seeing all of it. We're seeing every single part of it unfolding. And, you know, it's like you can go and prepare now while you can walk and do it in grace. Or you can wait till the freeways are so filled with people trying to evacuate the cities that you're only going to drive 5 miles an hour anyway. Your car's going to overheat and you're going to have to go on foot the rest of the way. So it's like, you know, at what point do you wake up? At what point do you take responsibility? And what do we do to get through these changes? It starts off with you and me, not him or her or them. It starts off with me and you. In the native way, there's I. But I saw this. I took the journey. I walked many miles. I saw and spoke to Pankashala. It always starts off with I. The basic essence of all purification starts off with I. The cleansing starts with I. Getting into the Grand Master, Yeshua said, time to clean the temples, clean your house. For what hour I come, you will not know. Only the Father in heaven knows. Even the angels do not know. It went something like that. And so it's prepare in constant preparedness, not in paranoia. It's become aware, not out of fear, but out of intelligence, out of caring. You're going to need to be able to help people. There are going to be people on the move. You're going to be able to have to take people in. You're going to have some sort of stores of food and herbs for health. You're not going to be able to go to hospitals. Walmart is not going to be there. you know. So every day that we wake up, well, don't worry, we're within 30 miles of the Walmart, we're okay. Well, you won't be able to do it. Where does everything from Walmart come from?
China.
Hello. And who's the new big brother on the scene? China. Who's the one moving into the Middle East and saying, we'll protect you against these invaders, these imperialist dogs? China.
You got Russia teaming up with China for a military exercise now, and they're getting ready to pass a law that says that if Taiwan makes the move to officially become a free country, that they'll go to war.
Right.
That's crazy because, I mean, they...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like...
But these are crazy times. But the point is that they're doing it. I mean, even good old Hillary Clinton got him saying, I'm really concerned about the military buildup going on in China. You know, well, China's got nothing to lose. They're already overpopulated. Their water is so polluted that they can't reclaim it. Their farmlands are so exhausted that there's not enough food. And if there's not enough food, there's two reasons why cowboys go to town. Three, food, whiskey, and women.
Yeah.
And they're having a great shortage over in China. So, boys, sleep light tonight because they're coming in off the range. There's already thousands and thousands of troops in Mexico, Chinese troops.
Control the Panama Canal.
And there's an enormous amount of Chinese troops just north of the U.S. border over in B.C.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aqua Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Especially down in this weird little area in Montana that they call the Yak. A lot of strange stuff goes on there, folks. Strange trains that are 2-3 miles long, filled with Russian and Chinese military vehicles, traveling under the cloak of darkness and arriving in the middle of the Yak in Montana.
Cloak,
I guess they're going to use them to herd cows.
Cloak of darkness, now that I was 10 years ago, I was driving about 6 miles south of Moab, Utah, and a Scud missile and its launcher, I mean, green missile with the big red star, went right by me on the back of a semi. Mm-hmm. I look 22 miles south of Moab out in the desert. I'm going, where is that one going? You know, is that going down to that Air Force base in New Mexico that's controlled by the Germans? Or where's it going?
They're teaching the German pilots how to fly and operate under desert conditions.
Is it Kirtland that it's completely... controlled by the German Air Force, Kirtland Air Force?
Yeah, Hollendorf Air Force Base.
Hollendorf, yeah. Of course, they had to have a German name, yeah.
Of course they had to, sir. They are still the superior Luftwaffe, you know.
They still fly their starfighters.
I mean, who are all of our scientists? Who created the space program? Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, you know, Lennon and McCartney.
Operation Paperclip.
You know, who brought all these guys or these big estates on the North Shore and South Shore of Long Island and in Glencove and upstate New York and in California and Colorado, and who gave them all these companies to work with, and who runs the pharmaceutical companies? Hello.
Well, my dad was a head of research scientist rating with NASA, and one of his biggest idols was Werner von Braun. You know, I mean, Werner von Braun was one of the biggest Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, he shows up in the 50s and 60s building rockets in the United States. How did that happen?
Who's planning the whole war strategy over the Middle East? Rumsfeld. So it's like, you know, the children of these people are now, you know, well integrated into the society. Their corporations are well integrated into the corporate system. You know, so now we're going to open up the wilderness areas of Alaska to get more oil that we won't see for 15 years anyway. You know, it's just watch the footsteps. You just watch the footsteps. And so that leads people to say, well, what do I do, man? I mean, I drive a truck, and I got a little job, and my family's got a little job, and, well, what can I do to change all this? I mean, you know, I can't really do anything. So once again, we become overwhelmed, and we implode, and we crawl back. We go back to the house, and then we wonder what's happening with our relationships, why they're falling apart. We're wondering why the children aren't wanting to be around us. Well, you know, why would you want to be around adults who weren't fun?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be around people who are always in fear? How can you have a relationship when you can't get out of the stress of everyday fear that has now become at a level where 25 years ago they would have sent you for psychiatric treatment, but you're living through this manic depression every day of your life and you're considered normal?
Yeah.
You know? Why is everybody on... Why are they giving kids Ritalin and Prozac and all that other terrible crap that they're giving them, okay? You know, let's get them on drugs early, man, you know? Well, I was a kid in the 70s, you know? It's not always a good idea, you know? So, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, we've just done the doom and gloom thing. That was good, okay?
Hey, we can cut back on our lifestyles, live on a half or two-thirds of our income, and start being smart. Start looking into making some preparation. If you're not making them now, it may already be too late. You
know? We start learning how to share.
That's right. Start thinking.
We start learning how to drop our judgments.
That's right.
We start to learn that I can only do so much with two hands and two legs. I need my neighbor to help me. Look at what's happened to the neighborhoods. When I was a kid, not that long ago, and when I was a kid, you used to go out at night in the summertime, and you always heard the mothers calling, Johnny, it's time to come home, because everyone was out playing stickball or dodgeball or something in the street, okay? Kids were playing everywhere. You drive through the neighborhoods now, they're empty, man.
Yeah.
Or you drive through and they're empty, you know?
Everybody's inside on the internet.
You know, where are they, you know? And where are the kids? Where are the neighbors? Look at Halloween. You can't even go out and celebrate Halloween. Okay? I mean, you know, everything's about every year, the week before Halloween, they put up all the programs, you know, look out for the razor blades and the broken glass and the acid and everything else and the kids' apples and candy bars.
Not to forget the devil.
You know, so how long do we have to wait, sit there like turtles on a rock, and watch everything unravel, okay? And how are we going to go out and tell people you got to change things without sounding like foolish old bums walking down, you know, the Bowery or some street downtown L.A. telling them that the Lord's going to come and the Day of Judgment is going to be here? Nobody's going to listen to that.
Sandwich boards, yeah.
You know, what they're going to listen to is, today I decided to change my life. Today I decided I'm not going to live in fear. Today I decided I'm going to live the next 90 days for my potentiality and what I am and what I want to do, rather than accept all the things that I don't want to do and be all the things I don't want to be. I decided that I'm going to sit here for 7 days and play a game with myself, and for 7 days I'm not just going to scream at my mate, or I'm not going to scream at my kids without a good reason. I'm going to stop myself And I'm going to say, why is this going on? Why am I getting aggravated? Why am I getting so annoyed that I want to go into an attack mode? Excuse me, people, but these are your kids. You know, I never met a kid, and I worked with a lot of I worked with a lot of young bloods in my life who were the rebels of the universe, but I never met a human being that could withstand passion and a compassion. I also never met a child who would refuse a kind eye. You know, children can tell, little dogs can tell. We are supposed to be the superior species. So why don't we start out? And why don't we start out by ourselves? What's the first thing you do? The first thing you do, whoever you believe God is you say, hi, I'm going to try to be more like you every day. When I walk down that aisle in the supermarket, instead of grabbing that cabbage and beating that woman over the head because she cut me off, I'm just going to laugh at it and say, aren't people funny? It's not easy. What I'm saying to do is not easy. What it does is it changes your reaction so that instead of being reactionary, you're coming into a causal existence. Then you're not charging things.
Some bear would say you're giving yourself the power.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what are they going to take away from you?
Yeah, reach down and pick up that piece of paper.
Yeah, it's a lot of power. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Most of the other guys just walk over it.
Don't empower the litterers.
You know, so, and how can you criticize people for things that you don't take on and do yourself? So it's a matter of grabbing responsibility for your life walk. Right now we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of things change in our relationships, yes. We're seeing relationships come and go really quickly. A lot of people feel like, well, you know, I've already lived so many lifetimes in this lifetime, you know. Well, okay. Hey, blow off the dust, pilgrim, because what you're getting the chance to do is you're getting a chance to have a life review while you're here.
Right.
You're getting a chance to change the pathway of your footsteps while you're here, not after you go to the next place. You're getting a chance to do it right now. When these things come up in your face, you're getting a chance to deal with it right now. And what that requires from both sides, because it takes two sides to manifest an experience, what you have to have with both sides is a lot of compassion. It's a lot of compassion, not giving in and, you know, letting people whine and weep and rant all over the place, because it's like it's just allowing somebody to make mistakes because you make mistakes. It's learning how to change our humor. We've developed a type of humor where everything's cutting, everything's a put down, you know. I don't know if it's because of what we're seeing or on TV or the movies or what, but it's like, stop putting the other mate down. Stop putting your other half down. That's your other half, man. I mean, you're going through life together, regardless of what it is. If you decide you're going to separate, well, then separate, but separate with dignity, because you still may have children involved in that relationship. And, man, I remember the night that the two of you got together, and she was the goddess of Olympus, and you were the chief Adonai in the universe, and all this other stuff, and everyone told you, hey, take it easy, slow down. You said, nope, don't have to. I know what's going on. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you jumped into the pool, sucker. Now you got to swim, you know. You got to swim with it. You got to swim with the responsibility of it. And unfortunately, unlike 100 years ago, we don't have the elders to put it through the rites of passage. We don't have that. So what we've got is a lot of adults that are acting like little immature kids.
Yeah.
Because they never went through the rites of passion. You know, you want to lay with that woman, you want to have a child, she wants to have a child with you, you got to understand what that means. You can't be a wild animal running around now. You got to decide whether or not you're going to join the human race. And that's a big decision. I think even if we go back to that movie, Little Big Man, where he's talking to Chief Dan, and Chief Dan goes, well, there never were a lot of human beings, but we knew who each other were.
Yeah.
You know, and we allowed for a lot of things. And, you know, if we look back at those times and those people, they were very compassionate. They didn't judge people because they were one way or another. They were just, okay, he's the guy who sits home and makes blankets with women. That's what he does. You know, he's the guy who goes out and hunts. He's always the guy sitting down talking politics. One day he may be a chief. You know, what did the children do? They'll tell you what they want to do if you allow them to do what they want to do. And it's very hard right now because the so many ways of life, so many things that we would go through in a natural progression of living life, the dance of life, that we would become on the way to becoming what we would become, are no longer available to us. It's very hard in a lot of places now to go out and just get a job and be somewhat close to what you want to do. It's very hard right now to want to go out and start a farm or start a ranch because you can't just go out and get 50, 75 cows and pay the mortgage. The only way you're going to do it is if you get 5,000 cows. And then you're going to come out maybe only $20,000 in debt every year. But it's hard. It's hard now. So we have to be compassionate with our children. And our children need a place. They need to come back and feel the parents hold them and say, it's okay. You didn't do something wrong. Because we're too easy to judge and tell everybody how wrong they were and what they did wrong and how they could do it better. And the kid isn't stupid. The kid's looking at you going, well, your life isn't exactly what I call perfect, you know. So it's like, how do you explain to the children that all I am is a big kid, all you are is a little kid. I've got more experience than you, so I can help you get through this. I can take you out and take you on the bear walk and come back and teach you how to trap and do all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't mean that because I've done this for 20 years and I got a reputation that the bear won't kill me one day if I do something stupid. You know, where is the father and son, mother and daughter, parent and child relationship? Where is the children sitting down and talking to the grandparents, hearing about what they did and looking at them with respect and realizing that they were in their lives great people? Where, that's something that's really, really missing. So that goes back to how do I start me and how do I fix me? You're not going to fix the world. You got to fix you first. And then you got to fix you. It's like baby steps. Then you got to fix you and your relationship with you. Once you start to fix your do people enjoy flying off the handle? Do they enjoy screaming and yelling and ranting and raving? And it's amazing how in life, it is truly amazing how in life, how we think that we have progressed beyond the limitations of our parents, and yet we become our parents in front of our very eyes.
Oh, yeah.
We play out the role because that's what you saw every day. Was Dad screaming or Dad doing this or Dad was drinking too much or Dad was disrespectful to Mom or Mom always henpecked Dad, always put Dad down. He was always trying to come up with new ideas and she kept putting him down. You know, and I kept telling him, listen, leave Dad alone, okay? One day he just may come up with a light bulb, you know? We get farther along the road by encouraging each other. It doesn't mean that we allow bad things to happen. It doesn't mean that we allow people to be rude. It does not mean that we allow people to be vicious with their tongues. One careless word can ruin a child's life for the next 30 years of their life, if not their whole life. So it's like the responsibility goes back to self. Do you just let things fly off at the hip? Or do you think about what you're doing before you do it? Do you live your life with purpose? Is each step that you walk deliberate? Or are you just a leaf at the mercy of the wind? Is it always somebody else's fault? And I think that as we start to make these and we have the time, you always have as much time as you need. And you start at a small level. If people started to focus on them, and they started to focus on their family, and they started to focus on their neighborhood. And if the guy has a disaster, you don't sit there and go, yeah, man, the guy lost his whole house in the flood. It was really bad. So we sat here and got a bunch of 12-packs and watched the whole thing for a month. They went crazy. They wound up getting divorced. But nobody ever walked over to the guy and said, hey, man, you know, I figure there's about 40 of us here, and if we all get together and chip in and buy some 2x4s down at Home Depot and do stuff, hell, we could have a new house up for you in about 2 weeks. Remember those days?
Well, I'll tell you what our group's doing. About a year and a half ago, we have five,
six families here, and we bought a sawmill. And it's a band mill, and then very slowly, you know, we put the foundation down. You know, it took us several weekends of doing that, working together. I mean, I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about people that are all over 50 years old.
Wow.
And
so it was a geriatric sawmill.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, slowly over a period of time, you know, one of the landowners had a building. We turned that into a wood shop. We finally got the third wall on. It's enclosed, you know, and, you know, we gathered up tools from here and there. And now, you know, it's been slow going. It's been frustrating. It took, you know, 2-3 years to get to this point. Now, we just finished putting in several hundred board feet of logs, you know, so we've got enough mm-hmm. lumber, you know, for two houses
mm-hmm.
and a storehouse, and by fall to have our wood shop up and going and humming and providing they project at least part time jobs for four people,
mm-hmm.
and it's because we decided we were going to do something. You know, we planned it starting 5 years ago, put it in motion 3 years ago, you know, put the rubber to the road 2 years ago. Instead of standing around scratching our heads and talking about how we couldn't do it, we're starting to do it.
End of part one. Please refer to program notes for the scheduled date and time of part two. Thank you for supporting Prophecy Keepers Radio with your tax-deductible offerings to the Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Prophecy Keeper.
inside your heart, keepers of great wisdom, truth of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again.
Kind of good.